Hello, it's Matt, and this is a proud podcast. It has been said that the best way of improving your leadership skills is to join a voluntary board or committee. And yet, when everyone is voluntary, then why should they do what you ask them to? I'm recording this podcast in mid-June 2020, and we are still in the depths of the COVID-19 crisis. I hope as you listen to this, you and your loved ones are keeping safe and well. As we explore this subject together today, I want you to remember that when I refer to committee, it can also mean a leadership team, board, or organisation. Also, some committees, instead of naming the person chair, the person with overall responsibility, sometimes they're referred to as a president. Deciding to be on a voluntary committee has the potential to be a wonderful adventure and an incredible learning experience. To freely give your most precious asset, which is your time, to support an organisation you believe in and has the same values as you, is something extremely rewarding. So whether you are the current chair, deputy chair, serving on a board, or seriously thinking about getting involved in one, then I trust what I am going to say will be of value to you. I think most leadership experts would agree that the best way of improving someone's leadership skills is to join a voluntary board. One of the reasons is that as everyone is voluntary, they do not have to complete tasks if they don't feel inclined to. In a traditional corporate role, management can use fear to manipulate employees to do tasks as long as they have the fear of loss of part of their salary or even their employment. For most people, avoiding losing their income is a large motivator. However, you have to be far more skillful in understanding people and helping them to motivate themselves in a voluntary context. If you don't handle it well, then we soon find ourselves having to do everything on our own, which can become very stressful. So why do good, hard-working and intelligent people sometimes struggle to lead a successful committee? There is not just one reason why voluntary committee chairs struggle. I have come up with 15 that I wanted to share with you. So let's explore together the 15 reasons why chairs struggle and some possible solutions. Number 1. The chair doesn't know their personal why clearly enough. In any context, those that are deemed to be successful have a clear and wavering why or purpose. A reason that gets them to make the difficult decisions. A reason to keep going when others do not see the potential future like they do. A person understands their purpose. This leads to passion, which will then eventually create the production of results. Person, purpose, passion, production. I invite you to have a serious think about these two questions. What do you want to achieve yourself? Why did you take on this responsibility? Was it because no one else would? You believed you had the skills to improve the current situation, or perhaps you wanted to learn some new skills? Number 2. They don't understand the purpose of the committee. I invite you to consider these three rather blunt but very important questions. A. Why does the committee exist? B. Why should anyone care? C. Do all members of the committee understand the answers to the two questions above? I'll repeat those and give you time to briefly consider them. Question A. Why does the committee exist? Question B, why should anyone care? Question C, do all members of the committee understand the answers to the two previous questions? Reason 3. They struggle when members cannot explain the committee's purpose in approximately 3 sentences. Once you and the members of your committee are clear on your purpose, they will feel ownership for what they are contributing to. In addition to that, by having a simple way of explaining your purpose to others in an attractive way is extremely valuable. It generates interest in what the committee does and therefore makes marketing easier. This in turn will help to create interest for people wanting to get involved and attract the right kind of people. Note, can I suggest you use the 3 P's of networking I explained in a previous podcast episode to clarify what the committee do. So to remind you, those were people, problem, potential. So people, who do the committee serve? Problem, those people have. And finally, potential of how the committee solves that problem. So if you can explain that about your committee to new people, then that will attract them more easily. So if you can explain who the committee serve, the problem those people have, and the potential of how the committee solves that problem. Reason number 4. They forget they are the custodian of the committee, not the owner. Some chairs take the my way or the highway approach. This is particularly prevalent if the chair runs their own business or they are a partner or director level in the employed environment. Because their personalities tend to be the type of people that like to take control and own everything, they need to look at the longer term view and see beyond their term as chair and ensure their actions will not only positively affect the current situation, but also positively impact several years into the future. If you understand you are the custodian, then you will help to build strong foundations and the service of the committee will last the test of time. However, if someone does the opposite, they are metaphorically lighting a match and potentially watching it go up in flames. Reason 5. They don't know what motivates their committee and why the individuals joined. As early as possible, find out from each member of the committee 3 outcomes they want to achieve in the next 12 months while you are chair. This can be a mixture of personal and/or professional development that relate to their role on the committee. For example, they may want to improve their public speaking, so create opportunities for them to introduce events the committee is delivering. If you are listening to this during the COVID-19 crisis, then this will be video calls. Otherwise, if it is post-COVID-19, and there are no longer social distancing requirements, than at public events. By doing this, it will help your committee find ways of motivating themselves. Let me emphasise this. When voluntary members do not feel valued or able to contribute their expertise, then they will mysteriously disappear, or worse, they negatively impact the others of the committee. Reason 6. They forget or don't know about Pareto's 80-20 principle. Over 100 years ago in Italy, it was noticed that around 80% of the land was owned by 20% of the people, and they wondered if this applied to other aspects of life. In my experience, it's not usually exactly 80-20, but I tend to find it is close. So however brilliant your committee members are at what they do, about 20% of them will produce 80% of the results. 20% of them will do 80% of the work. And 20% of them will unfortunately create 80% of the problems. They won't be the same 20%, but it would always be around that ratio. As the chair, the more we understand this principle, the easier it will be to lead the committee. Instead of wondering why the same people are doing most of the work and why the others don't do more, just realise that is normal. It just seems to be the way the world works. I've got no idea why, but it does seem to be consistent as day follows night. Now, I do understand that the more you focus on something, the more you get. Therefore, I am very aware that Pareto's principle could be that. My suggestion to you is if it helps to know and utilise this principle, then wonderful. If not, use something else that helps you become a more proactive and understanding chair. Reason 7. Some forget that they are well above the average. It is safe to say that in most cases, if someone is on a committee, they are one of the most proactive and contributing people in that organisation or area. On the whole, the chair will ideally be the most enthusiastic person on the committee. So sometimes chairs need to remember that the rest of the organisation and their world don't necessarily have the same level of commitment and work ethic. So by getting frustrated by others' inability to do simple tasks will create a non-productive atmosphere. Warning. What is just as bad for the organisation is when the chair tries to take on everything themselves, either due to them being a perfectionist or because they're expected to by other members who aren't pulling their weight. This negatively affects everybody because they will eventually burn out. Reason 8. They don't understand the compound effect. Compounding was apparently described by Einstein as the eighth wonder of the world and is crucial in understanding anything to do with success. A while ago, when I was part of one particular leadership team, I raised the issue of a lack of growth, and the chair replied to me, "Oh, it's fine, we haven't lost any members, so we're okay. Yes, we haven't had any new members into the organisation, but at least we're staying the same." Most people know that everything in life is either growing or it's diminishing. Just because the results are not obvious for everyone to see in the short term, given enough time, you all of a sudden get a significant chunk of the organisation overnight leave for a whole host of what would appear to be different reasons. Nonetheless, they all stem from the thought in the back of the member's mind that the organisation is not worth being part of, as it is not growing. It takes time to develop success on a committee, and it takes time before the results become obvious. Unfortunately, in the same way failure of the committee can take time to show, but by that time it is harder to get those things back on track. With regards to the organisation that I raised the lack of growth issue with, not long after we unfortunately had a snowball effect and a loss of membership of about 20% within a short period of time. Reason 9. They don't realise there are two types of chair. This is inspired by an idea from John C. Maxwell. While this concept is simple, I am aware that I could spend an entire day exploring this with you. Basically, there are two types of chair and they have different outlooks and different skill sets. Most chairs want to be needed, but some chairs want to be succeeded. Whichever one you are is perfectly fine. My purpose is to very briefly highlight the distinctions so you can be aware of the advantages and decide to focus more on the one type in the future. The four distinctions that a chair that wants to be needed. A. Focus more on counselling their team. B. Motivation is based on manipulating. C. They add to the organisation's efforts. And D, they affect this generation. The four distinctions that a chair that wants to be succeeded. A, focus on equipping their people. B, motivation is based on inspiration. C, they multiply the organisation's efforts. And D, they affect the next generation. So which would you rather be, a chair that wants to be needed or a chair that wants to be succeeded? Reason 10. They don't swap around the role of chairing the meeting. This is an idea that a former sales director kindly shared with me a while ago. As chair, you are in charge and responsible for the committee. At the same time, to help develop your committee members, give them the opportunity to chair the meeting. Let them introduce the meeting, welcome people and go through the agenda, ensuring everyone makes a contribution. Many times this will mean a more productive meeting and more of the team are likely to speak. Sometimes as chairs, we own too much of the work and don't allow enough things to be shared. It doesn't have to be done every meeting, but regular enough so it is normal. Note, if you do not set up the reason why you are doing it and making it a normal thing that happens, then there is a slight risk of some members losing confidence in the committee and you as chair. Warning, this will take a very confident and comfortable chair to execute. It is an excellent barometer of your phase of leadership. Firstly, can you give up the perceived authority to someone else and reduce your ownership and control? Secondly, as chair, have you attracted and developed a committee that can competently take over from you at short notice? Advanced tip. This will obviously help with succession planning as you're indirectly seeking out those that want to take a lead in the future. Reason 11. They don't understand the difference between leadership and management. I have said that when paperwork becomes more important than people, then we will inevitably encounter problems. Paperwork, people, problems. The main role of the chair is to lead the committee, not manage it. As part of their duties, there will be a requirement for management, but this must be secondary and kept to a minimum. Remember, people are volunteering to get involved. They want something different to their day-to-day job. Good people don't need to be managed. They want to be inspired. If we have attracted good people onto our committees, then give them as much freedom as possible to do what they are good at. Warning. If we are feeling that we have to micromanage our committee and ask them to report all the time, then we need to take a serious look at ourselves. What phase of leadership are we displaying? Are we the type of person that has attracted the right people onto our committee? Are we too afraid to fail and therefore not prepared to take the risk of when things don't work out as we had hoped? Advanced tip. One of the core roles of the chair is to protect the committee from the outside world when others don't have the vision to see what you can. This takes time to develop that level of confidence. Reason 12. They forget to give recognition to their team. I was part of an organisation and during that time, one of the chairs was particularly good at taking credit when it was not earned and not giving it out when it was. This demotivated team members that had previously been highly productive and self-motivated valued contributors. It is well known that over 80% of employees don't like their jobs. Therefore, voluntary committees have a wonderful opportunity to offer people fundamental things that we all crave, but most do not get at work. Recognition, valued contribution and purpose. These are powerful motivators and when used ethically, it is amazing how much extra committee members will produce. And as a chair, you will become astounded at the effort that some of your members will do to serve. Genuine heartfelt recognition and appreciation, both in private and, where appropriate, in public, is like magic. Reason 13. They don't realise attrition is inevitable. Good people that will significantly benefit your committees are hard to find. They are hard to encourage onto your committee, and once involved, they are hard to keep. Stuff happens in life, such as job relocation, birth, marriage, and, unfortunately, death. So the priorities of your voluntary members will change, and it is guaranteed that you will lose good people. Even if you have already implemented the suggestions in this episode, then sadly there is still not a lot you can do about certain circumstances. However, what you can do as chair is ensure that you have created a committee that is attractive to people, something that gives them meaning and purpose, and something that makes a difference. Once you have done that, then we need to make sure that people in our community know about it. So make sure you are sharing what your committee does through presenting and networking as much as possible. One of the best people I worked with on a committee and board joined after coming up to myself at the end of a presentation I'd given at an event. They said, "This sounds great, how do I get involved?" My intention at the time was not to get any new members onto the committee. But when we share ideas and do things that add value to people, it attracts the right kind of interest. So my question to you is, what opportunities are you creating to present your committee to your world so as to find the few good people that will want to join you. Always be on the lookout for good people, and if your committee is at full capacity, create a waiting list and keep them informed and engaged so that when the inevitable happens, they can fit straight in without adverse effect on the committee. Reason 14. The chair is allowed to select their replacement. It is not uncommon for a chair of a voluntary committee to select their replacement. However, it is at best unwise and at worst detrimental to the organisation. Sometimes the chair has a deputy who they pick at the start of their term with the intention of the deputy taking over. I will share three reasons why it is an undesirable idea. Number one, just because the chair gets on with the deputy, they could be the best of friends. It doesn't mean that the rest of the committee like or trust that person. And when the current chair leaves, the deputy is then responsible for everything. I had an experience where I was not too sure of a deputy that had been selected by the chair, but thought I would try and give them the benefit of the doubt as I highly respected the chair and thought their judgment must be right and I was missing something. However, on one of my first encounters where I saw the deputy and another member find it amusing to actively encourage a younger member of the organisation to have too many drinks and slightly embarrass themselves, which meant I had very little respect for that deputy. So when they became chair, I was keen to move on from the organisation as quickly as I could while maintaining the excellent work that had been created. Number two, it creates an autocracy. A chair of a voluntary organisation should be elected democratically. The process should involve them being proposed by a member and then seconded by another member. Then all members should be given the opportunity to vote for the candidates up for the chair. At the very least, all members of the senior leadership committee should vote for the candidates proposed. Number three, it limits diversity. People like people that are like themselves or like who they want to become. If the chair is the one that selects their replacement, then they'll pick someone that could be too similar to themselves and miss new opportunities for growth and organisational development. Reason 15, and this is the last reason of why chairs of voluntary committees struggle. The chair does not rotate regularly enough. This sounds self-explanatory and rather obvious. There is a balance between a chair having enough time to implement the changes they want to see and limiting the term they serve. Apparently, there is guidance suggestions in the third sector for around 3 years. However, in education, governors are expected to serve at least one period of 4 years, preferably two periods, which would be 8 years. This is a big commitment. It is not unheard of for chairs of governors to be in position for 10 years. On the nga.org.uk website, they give a more thorough explanation of why it is important to have term limits. To summarise, their three main arguments for term limits are these. A. Term limits force organisations to develop new leaders. B. Term limits provide a painless way for people who are not doing a good job to retire gracefully and automatically. C. Term limits lead to healthier, refreshed boards. Those were the 15 reasons why voluntary committee chairs struggle. Some of those may resonate more with you than others. I hope you can consider the solutions and help grow your organisation that you have decided to support with your experience, time and energy. More than ever, voluntary organisations will be filling important gaps in society, so your contribution is much needed. So I'd like to thank you for your time and what you do, and I hope that this little podcast has helped you to become even better. How will you make yourself and your organisation proud? I like using alliteration and acronyms, so let's find out if you can hear this last one. I have used it before. unless we decide to take action, get some results, and then evaluate the effectiveness, then this podcast will have just been entertainment at best. Go on, I dare you to decide to take action to improve your professional career. Decide, action, results, evaluate. Dare. Dare to be different. Dare to create. Dare to make a difference. I wish you all the success you are prepared to work for, and that the people you influence on a regular basis will start to see the many untapped talents that you have. Take care and stay safe. If you like this podcast episode, then feel free to share it with those that you care about. If you haven't already subscribed, then click on the relevant button so you don't miss out and always get the latest episode. I am Matthew Broomhead, and this is a proud podcast.